and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Laveau. Donald Trump likes to refer to himself as a peacemaker. However, how does his record in his second term stack up to this claim? The war in Ukraine continues. Israel's destruction of the Palestinian people continues. And the jury is still out when it comes to Iran. Crosstalking Peace Through Strength, I'm joined by my guest, Yves Engler in Montreal. He's a Canadian Foreign Policy Institute fellow, journalist, and author. In Florida, we have Craig Pasta-Jardula. He is co-host of The Convo Couch. And in Cardiff, we cross to Johnny Venmore. He is an investigative journalist and founder of NewsPace. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. I want to go to Pasta first because it's his birthday yesterday. Congratulations, my friend. You're looking very, very youthful. And speaking of youth, this is a very early administration. We're not even at 100 days. And I keep hearing this phrase, peace through strength. I don't know what that means. We've heard it before. It even goes back to the Reagan administration. And Donald Trump likes to call himself a peacemaker. I don't see much peace. I don't see much peace being made. Pasta.
Yeah, I guess it's really supposed to be about deterrence. And I'm glad you pointed out the fact it was made famous by the Gipper. You know, it's one of those old phrases, you know, walk softly and carry a big bat. But in this case, let them see that bat. And even though it really hasn't led to deterrence, it really leads to record-breaking contracts. It sidelines diplomacy. It seems like that Donald Trump and his foreign policy is making very much use of that, or at least following along with that Marion Adelson money. It seems our foreign policy is driven by Israel, and Donald Trump is not slowing down whatsoever, even is going so far to go ahead and bomb Yemen without the consent of Congress. So, I mean, it really is nothing to do about peace through strength. It's peace through the military. And let's be honest, Peter, it's just more of the same. This is just a continuation of the last administration. It doesn't make a difference if it's a Republican or a Democrat in office. We are addicted to war, the United States, and I don't see this slowing down at all.
Well, you know, I couldn't disagree with any of that. You know, Johnny, we've all been following what's been going on with the Trump administration's approach to Ukraine. I'm all for phone calls with major leaders. No problem with that. But the fact is, and to kind of echo what Pasta already said, there's no real difference between the Biden administration and the Trump administration when it comes to Ukraine. Maybe the tipping point will be the new appropriation. We're not there yet. But until we're there, I don't see the difference. Johnny.
No, I see peace through strength actually meaning, like you say, the same, a continuation. It's peace through perpetual limited warfare. It's a continuation of Kissinger and Khan's ideas of perpetual limited warfare, mutually assured destruction. But it's coming up to the new technocratic model of it. I think that's partially what we're seeing. What we're seeing at the moment is a selection of great things happening, a great reset, there's a great taking, but there's also a great change happening in neoconservative circles, because, of course, all the neoconservative infrastructure that led to Ukraine and other countries being destabilized is now being taken down by Doge. And what they got, the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, which I think is more like the Department of Geopolitical Efficiency, and it's not actually disappearing. They're making it look like they're destroying this neoconservative infrastructure, but in actual fact, they're resetting it. It's another reset. It's a reset for the technocratic era. Technology has changed. They no longer need a massive amount of NGOs on the ground. They don't need to have these people within these countries. They can all do this all via technology. And I think we're seeing the same thing as we've seen for the past 75 years or so. It's just perpetual limited warfare to distract us, to destabilize, to reform the world in their image.
So what you're saying, putting a lipstick on a pig is still a pig, yes?
Yes.
All righty. Yes, Yves, let me go to you in Montreal. What does peace through strength mean to you? Because the Pentagon is getting $1 trillion. I mean, I thought the government was supposed to be dismantled. This is incredible. What are they going to do with that money, Yves?
Well, they're going to do what they've been doing, which is to intimidate the world and bomb the world. And we see that in Yemen, of course. And No, I don't think there's any sense to the greatest military power the world has ever seen, with bases all around the world, 150 countries, special forces in most countries of the world. The idea that there's anything, the idea of peace through strength makes no sense in the context of such overwhelming U.S. Military power. So no, I don't think, you know, this is just a justification for more of the U.S. empire. But I think even if you look at some of the kind of, you know, less militaristic things that Trump's done, you know, the sanctions on Venezuela that have been imposed, I mean, these are essentially acts of war. I mean, just, yeah, you know, secondary sanctions on oil and stuff like that. So the Trump administration is incredibly belligerent. Obviously, in the Middle East, you see it the most egregiously, where they're, you know, bombing Yemen, and they just announced a new huge aid arm shipment to Israel. It's already $12 billion in weapons during the Trump administration to Israel, which is an astronomical sum. This is obviously to kill in Gaza, but also to prepare for attack on Iran. And so it's more of the same. And you know, the Marion Adelson is obviously part of behind that. There's all these arms companies that are behind that. And Trump is, you know, the MAGA supporters just go along. They claim he's a peace man, and they just go along with his bombing, and they go along with his attacks against those trying to end genocide within the U.S. This isn't to be surprised, you know, it's not surprising, of course, because the people who run the U.S. are the military-industrial complex, is the Israel lobby, is these different forces. And Trump is just more of the same.
You know, but Pasta, maybe one difference, maybe it's only a nuance here. At least the U.S. is acting like an empire. You know, it's not a rules-based order anymore, okay? We're the big guy and you're all vassals. At least that's different, and at least it's a little bit more transparent. Pasta.
Yeah, it's right. It's in your face. But I think, too, Peter, that we have to point out that, you know, it is more of the same. The empire is the empire. They're just a little bit more out front and transparent about what they're doing. And they're selling this whole peace through strength. I never really thought, Peter, that we would ever reach the level of hero worshiping, of praising of a politician that we have with Barack Obama. But here comes the Trump people. They're coming along and saying, hold my beer. They will go along with anything this guy says as he's bombing Yemen. We saw that awful tweet that he made where he was bragging about bombing people in a tribal circle. You see people repeating that slogan. This is what it means about peace through strength. I mean, the trick here is to say that, you know, it's not the system that needs to change, Peter. It was the management. Biden was incompetent. The last administration was incompetent. We're competent over here. We're smart guys, you know, bobbleheads like Peter Hegseth and all these Marco Rubio guys that are out there and stuff. But that's what they're selling. And unfortunately, the people in America, especially the Trump movement, the MAGA movement, they're buying it. And it's everything opposite he said he would do. Remember when he told us he would end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours? Well, I'm still looking at my watch, Peter, and he hasn't ended it. And now he's we're all seeing when he said that, I think all of us out there were saying, you're not being realistic. If anybody's been paying attention, we know you're not going to end that war in 24 hours. But people are going along with it, and that's the sad part.
Well, you know, who's going along with what? Johnny, I think it's really interesting. As time passes, we see Trump has a team around him. They're not going to do what he wants. Marco Rubio's name has already been mentioned here, this Keith Kellogg character as well. I mean, Steve Bannon said before the inauguration that if Trump doesn't end the war in Ukraine, it's going to become his Vietnam. It is his Vietnam now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I also think what we're seeing, if we look at each of Trump's actions, what he's gone back on especially, they're all expressions of the American intelligence deep state. They're all expressions of exactly what organizations like the CIA and others have been doing for donkey's years. And it's not a surprise that Trump has so many intelligence links. He, from the past, even with his links to people like Epstein, etc., his links to Roy Cohn, he's been traveling in these circles, he's been growing up in these circles. All he knows is these circles. So what else would we expect? And we're not seeing necessarily the old-fashioned boots-on-the-ground type wars. We're seeing lots of malevolent proxy sort of wars happening. And I think what we saw in Syria was just before Trump got inaugurated, what we saw in Syria was the preparation for the destabilization of the Middle East so he can come in as a savior. So I think what will happen in Ukraine, there will be a shift across. Eventually, he doesn't want to end it straight away. I think he'll roll it down slowly, have a very fancy big summit, which I'm sure we'll talk about the possibilities of that later. And he will look towards looking like the peacemaker while destabilizing a region so he can say, we need to go in and we need to sort out this area now it's all on fire.
Well, you know, Eve, it's interesting is that the Trump administration has put a lot of effort in trying to mend the Russia-U.S. relationship, in meaning that that will somehow end the war in Ukraine. Well, that's just silly. And plus, as things go on, relations, as bad as they are, will only get worse with Russia. I don't see any traction anywhere for Trump on anything. I want to talk about Iran in the second part of the program. There may be some daylight there. But everything he says is counter what he ran on. Go ahead, Eve.
Well, I think that the initial stuff with Russia, I think, is positive. I think restart.
I agree, but I mean, where's the beef? Okay, I mean, everybody knows what Russia's position is. Okay, it's not being dealt with. They're still not listening. Improving bilateral relations is not going to change geopolitics. Go ahead, Eve.
Yeah, well, I think it's a potential step towards some shift, and I agree that clearly Trump is not prepared to wind back the U.S. empire, is not prepared to seriously wind back NATO's belligerence both in Eastern Europe and across the globe, because the U.S. empire and the U.S. military and the deep state and these different forces don't want to do that. So I think it's the diplomatic relations in that front, that's not where I would put the biggest criticism of Trump. I put the biggest criticism of Trump is in I think Yemen is the clearest example where they are reverting to just the really open, naked, militaristic aggression that Trump claimed to oppose. And I would also say
I guess that's what peace through strength is. We've solved it, gentlemen. All right, guys, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on peace through strength. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing peace through strength. Okay, let's go back to pasta. I think we all agree here, if there was ever any kind of initiative to end the Ukraine war, it's stalled, at least at this point. And we see all this ridiculous juvenile bickering within the administration itself. Witkoff, Kelly, Marco Rubio, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Why should I waste my time when it looks like a high school lunchroom? But let's shift a little bit to Iran here. We all saw the meeting Trump had with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, the big question is, was it a head fake? Was Netanyahu surprised? We can go on and on. And then they had the U.S. and Iran had an indirect and then a photo shot, direct meeting in Oman. What do you make of all of that, Pasta? A step back, or is this being propagandized for the future war?
I'd say the latter. We're being propagandized for the future war. I remember, at the end of the day, I hear this all the time. Donald Trump is putting Netanyahu on a leash, but I think Eve pointed out, I think it was somewhere around $11 or $12 billion. Hey, that's a really fancy leash he's putting there on Netanyahu. And at the end of the day, I think he's going to do whatever Israel tells him to do. They actually drive that foreign policy in the Middle East. And when I look at these talks, I just can't help to think about, Soleimani or Hezbollah, you know, I mean, this kind of like Donald Trump mafia style, let's whack the guy at the top kind of mentality as we go into these peace talks. So when I see this going on, I see nothing more than them sizing it up. And I'm wondering if he's going to try to attack or take somebody up out at the end of the day. Listen, I think the military understands the military industrial complex. I believe there was some simulated kind of war game years ago. I can't remember what it was called.
Multiple ones. Yes, keep going.
Looking at Iran, and that was like 7, 8, 10 years ago. Well, Iran has changed. They've become masters at drone warfare. We have no shot with Iran whatsoever. I think the United States knows that. I think this is just more about political posturing and letting, you know, once again, the peace through strength kind of puffing out their chest. And Donald Trump, you know, and when you hear Peter Hegseth on Fox News, he says words like dead serious, like 5 or 6 times over there.
Lethality, so lethality. He loves lethality. That word comes out every time he speaks in public here. What do you think, Johnny? Because, I mean, a lot of other people are saying that the U.S. is, it has limitations taking on, okay, you can pound sand in Yemen and kill civilians. Wow, it doesn't take a lot of talent to do that. It's a huge waste of money, by the way. But Iran's a different case. Go ahead, Johnny.
Most definitely a different case. And but this is the wonder of Henry Kissinger's perpetual limited warfare, is that you don't have to intend to win. You don't have to intend to take down Iran. You just have to continuously destabilize it. For that, though, you need a foothold in the region that's secure. And that's hard when Israel, it looks like it's a way to make greater Israel happen at the moment, that they're pushing towards Syria and pushing towards the other areas. But I think there's also an element that suits a perpetual war with Iran for however long, 10, 20 years. Look at Afghanistan, look at Iraq, see the format from before. Again, these are the same techniques used. And I think it wouldn't be right to think that they're looking to have a war that they can actually end. That's not the game.
I mean, Johnny, what a lot of people are saying, this is just an attempted regime change. Okay, our good friend Professor Mirandi has told me on multiple occasions that, you know, they treat Russia and Iran as the same. All you have to do is knock the door down and the roof will come down. Okay, this is illusory thinking. Let me go to Eve here. One thing that, you know, you know, we've already mentioned Ronald Reagan. We can go before that, Richard Nixon, the madman theory. Is that what this foreign policy is? It's just madman theory on steroids?
It could be. I'm not sure that Trump is sufficiently sophisticated to be making those kind of thinking. But I do think that they are preparing. I think that Netanyahu is a complete madman. I think Netanyahu does want the U.S. to bomb Iran and wants to unleash a fairly significant war with Iran. And I think, unfortunately, there's too many Zionist forces within the Trump administration for them to hold back Netanyahu's craziness. And the sort of constant expansion of Israel and into Syria and obviously in Lebanon, obviously in Gaza, West Bank, it does set this stage for just constant tension and destabilization of the region, and then, you know, obviously the big one is bombing in Yemen as well, but also going for a full-on war with Iran. Whether they think they can win it, I agree with that. That it's unlikely that the planners in Washington think they're going to, you know, just take over Iran. But they are going to, I think they're likely going to create a lot of destruction, and Iran is able, Iran on its part is able to counter. But it's not clear to me how far the whole region could be lit into a major conflict. But I think that, yeah, the whether it's a planned madman theory, I think the person in Tel Aviv, Netanyahu, is a madman, and there are people around him are madmen. Whether the Israeli military is the upper echelons are sort of restrained enough to hold back Netanyahu and stuff. I don't know, but I think that they definitely, forces in Israel want to do this, and there's enough forces in Washington that will probably go along with it.
You know, Pasi, this is, you know, we're told this is all about Iran striving for a nuclear weapon. If Iran is attacked, the result will be that Iran will develop a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, I have to agree with Johnny too as well. You know, they're going to always use that excuse. It's about Iran having a nuclear weapons. It's okay for Israel to have a nuclear weapon illegally, by the way. I just want to point that out. But you know, but it's that old saying. It doesn't make a difference who wins the war. It doesn't make a difference who loses the war. All that matters is that they have the war. Therefore, the billions of dollars can keep flowing. But I also want to point out, I do think this is about the technocrats modernizing our warfare. It's all about implementing also track and trace policies and programs on the people. Because I've always said this before, Peter, that the greatest threat to the empire is its own citizens. So they're not only at war with the Middle East and at war with Iran and want to push this perpetual war, they're also at war with us. And that's what this is all about, modernizing the war itself. But, you know, I mean, if you're really going to look at this on paper, I think we have to understand, and the people of the United States, they don't understand what Iran's about. They don't understand the territory, the terrain. We can never beat Iran in a war nowadays. This isn't back in the days in the 1950s. This is today. And they're going to fight to the very last soldier. So if people think that they can have this G.I. Joe mentality, that we're just going to go in there and change things and wipe them off the map, they're terribly mistaken, Peter.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Can I just jump in very quickly and say, you know, it's definitely not the days of Mossadegh, but remember what the October Surprise Task Force taught us. It taught us that the Iranians were secretly dealing with the Americans and the CIA behind the scenes. So people like Reza Pasandida and others were working on behalf of Bani Sadr, in representing them at meetings with the CIA. And I think there's a lot of things that will be going on behind the scenes in secret. And one other thing is that the development of the ability to have a nuclear bomb is one thing. To missile technology to carry that bomb is very different, as India found out when it managed to do its first nuclear test in what, the early 70s, about 1974, and it wasn't until the 90s that it had a delivery method.
Well, even from what I've been told, Iran has all of the components that are necessary to have a weaponized program. It's to the point of breakout, and they haven't gone there because they are willing to negotiate. Unfortunately, the Americans and the Israelis never can take yes for an answer. Eve.
Yeah, because it's not about the nuclear weapon. It's about domination of the region.
It's about domination. It's
about constant war. It's about all that. So the nuclear weapon is secondary. The Iranians have been very restrained in all this. If I were sitting in Tehran, I would have thought, you know, the only thing you can do to avoid getting further attacked by the U.S. and Israel is to break out. Now, I understand the calculations in not doing that. But it's about domination, and the U.S. intelligence still says they don't believe Iran has decided, doesn't want to go that route, but that's never been what it's about. I mean, there's been proposals to have a nuclear-free Middle East for a long time. The countries that oppose a nuclear-free Middle East, of course, are Israel and the U.S. because they are the big nuclear powers, right? So. That's the direction I think for most of humanity we should be going in, but that's not, you know, humanity is certainly not what drives calculations in Washington, Tel Aviv.
You know, Pasta, we're not even at the 100-day mark. I think it's like 86 or something like that right now. Does Trump have any opportunity to achieve the goal of being peacemaker at this point?
No, I think that's long gone. You know, what's more scary to me right now is we talk about this perpetual state of war. But what's upsetting, like I said, is just seeing American voters and American people caught in this two-party illusion of sorts. I mean, they have the same funders, the same backers. It's AIPAC, it's BlackRock. But now Bernie Sanders and AOC are drawing big crowds out there. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, haven't we played this game before.
Okay, possibly. It seems like... We have 1 minute left. Yeah. I want to ask you one more question here. I mean, these foreign policy imperatives, they're bleeding into a domestic politics. So look at what's happening to free speech.
Yeah, Americans don't understand foreign policy. And there's an old saying when we're out there that whatever the empire uses outside its borders, well, eventually they'll bring it home to use on its own citizens. And it's happening right in front of our very own eyes. But unfortunately, we have a bunch of zombies just continuing to walk into this same two-party paradigm. It's really sad.
It's not sad. It's terrifying seeing videos of people being abducted off the street by plainclothes people with unmarked cars. I never thought that would happen in the United States, but it is. That's all the time we have, gentlemen. I want to thank my guests in Florida, Kharkiv, and in Montreal. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.